Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
On this glorious Arizona Saturday morning. Come on into my house, Rosie on the House, and let's talk about your house, home, castle, or cabin. Anything having to do with the foundations, exterior walls, cabinets, countertops, flooring, appliances, rooftops, air conditioning, heating, windows, whatever it is, whatever question you might have, I'm not guaranteeing I'll have the answer. But we'll get the answer for you. We'll find it. We've been building and remodeling here in the state of Arizona since 1972. That's the year I got my driver's license. And that's the year I went to work. I was very fortunate to be in a high school that was on split sessions. And my classes didn't start till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they went to 6 in the evening. So I had all morning to do two things, homework and make money.
So where did homework fall in that priority list?
I had homework scheduled for about 10 minutes on Tuesday. The rest of the time, I was out learning construction. I loved it. Those were the glory days, man. We'd build subdivisions and not sell one house. We would build an entire subdivision and not sell one house. And then we'd put fences at the entry and say, on October 15th, we're going to open the subdivision for sale. People would come with their entire families camping the night before to be in line. And we'd swing the gates open and we'd hand people soul signs that they could run. They couldn't drive. They had to run into the subdivision and just hang the soul sign on the house they wanted.
Wow.
It was fun. It was great. And then somebody came up with the idea of, well, let's just build 6 model homes. And then we'll let each home buyer come in and buy which model they want and pick a lot. And then we don't have to finance the entire subdivision out of our pocket ahead of time. So that changed everything in the late 60s and 70s.
We've come a long way, baby.
Oh, man. So we've been building and remodeling here in throughout Arizona. We've done some remodeling up on some historic homes up in Flagstaff. We've rebuilt restaurants in Wiki up Arizona. We've had several homes down in Tucson, done quite a bit of remodeling in the Pima County area, as well as the Far East Valley in Apache and Greenlee County. So we've been through the entire state. We got here in 1966. There's hardly a dirt road in Arizona I haven't traveled. There isn't a coffee shop and a donut house I haven't stopped in and eaten. I know the whole state fairly well. If you're out there and you've got a question about your house, home, castle, or cabin, give us a ring at the toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348, and we'll do our best to either answer your question or put you in touch with the right people in your neighborhood that can give you the trustworthy answer. That's a big part of our Rosie on the House statewide referral network. If you're a regular subscriber to our newsletter, it comes every single Thursday, you know we want to talk about water heaters. And there's a lot to cover in water heaters. I mentioned it last hour, we're going to be talking about it. And Jennifer actually got a text. I can't listen to it. How do I catch it later? All of our shows are archived on our website, rosieonthehouse.com. So anytime you hear a topic you want more information on, you can find it there. It's archived and it's cataloged and it's libraried.
Your calls are coming in, you see.
The calls are coming in. Mm-hmm. The calls. Let me just cover the basic water heater. And then I'll just kind of dance through this topic all hour. I think it's the biggest ignored appliance in your house. You can't ignore air conditioning and you can't ignore heating. Because the second they go out or the second they turn off, you're aware of it. The cool air has quit passing over the top of your forehead. But a water heater can go out slowly or all at once. Generally speaking, historically and traditionally, we take a 20, 30, or 40-gallon tank. and we stand it upright. We wrap it in insulation, and we connect it to your water line and your electric line or your natural gas line. The electric or the natural gas provides the heat to heat the water that's sitting in this tank. That water sits at that temperature in that tank, that whole 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 gallons, sits there heated constantly until you need it. You turn a hot faucet on, shower, tub, or bathroom vanity sink, and you generally have to wait a few minutes, depending on where you're located in the house in relation to the location of the water heater. The water heater shows up, you modify it, get it to the temperature you want by turning down the hot, turning up the cold, introducing the right mix so you're comfortable for whatever it is you're doing, bathing, showering, washing your face in the sink. That water heater, at that point that it's delivering water to you for consumption, it's actually refilling itself with fresh, cold water. Arizona has what we call hard water. It has a high mineral content. As we're heating water, we're taking those minerals and kind of making solids out of them. So over time, these solids settle in the bottom of the tank. That's why we encourage people, when you replace your water heater, if you go back with a traditional tank top water heater, you should be properly draining it once a year to get all of that sediment out of the bottom. That sediment's bad for the tank, it's bad for the water quality in your house, and it's bad for the efficiency of the unit. So before I go to the first caller, Sarah, I'm going to say one more thing about water heaters. If you've got one traditional tank type water heater, and now I'm motivating you to get out there and start checking on it and turn the water off and open the valve on the bottom, connect it to a hose and drain it. If you haven't done that in the last 5 years, I would tell you, don't touch it. You're only inviting problems upon yourself. If you regularly do it once a year, it's a pretty easy do-it-yourself project. If you haven't done it, it can become really messy really fast. All right, so that's Intro Water Heaters 101, traditional type tanks. We'll talk about tankless, and we'll talk about distribution of hot water so you don't have to wait for it throughout your house. But right now, it's a call-in show. Let's take Sarah and find out what issue Sarah has today. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
And your question.
Hold on.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, don't hang up.
I won't. I won't.
I'm just clueless. I have a flat roof, and it's the urethane foam, I guess it is. It's been recoated several times throughout the last 20-some years.
Okay.
And that the coating is cracked. So I had three people come out to tell me what needs to be done with it. First one said, oh, yeah, we can recoat it. We'll put, like, some sort of a primer down and then the elastomeric stuff, I guess. The second one said, oh, there's some membrane we put down, and I guess coat that. I'm not really sure. And then the third one said, oh, we won't recoat it at all. You need a new roof. So I have no idea what I need to do.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, how old is the foam that's in place right now?
It's probably around 20 years old.
It is.
Close to it.
Okay. And, Sarah, do you get up on the roof at all yourself?
I have been up there, yes.
Okay. One of the areas that we look for in assessing whether the foam is still good enough or not is sometimes moisture will get in and actually lift whole areas. So there'll be like swollen areas coming off of the plywood deck. It's like a big bubble. The other thing is excessive bird damage. Or if we haven't been on a regular recoating regime and protocol, if the sun has been able to hit any of that, the sun, the UUV, really degrades the foam once the elastomeric is burned off. You've got three different people recommending three different things. At 20-year-old foam, I would research, if not foam replacement, foam enhancement, probably at the very least. You're probably seeing some pretty significant recoat where we can go in your elastomeric that we're looking at is spider webbed, checked, and cracking. We go in, we power wash it, we apply a primer, elastomeric primer, apply elastomeric paint. You're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3 to $4 a square foot. If we feel like the foam actually needs to be replaced or enhanced, you're probably at least twice that. It's worth researching that. This person that's talking about laying a membrane over the top of the foam, I'm not familiar with that technology, and I'm not saying good or bad about it. I'm just not familiar with it. Usually with foam, it's foam on top of foam, and then it's always capped with the elastomeric paint. I'd be willing to take a look at those proposals. If you'd like to send it to me, I'll give you my email address off air, and I'll review them. I'll take a look at the address. I'll take a satellite image of the house and give you my personal opinion later this week. All right, with that said, we're going to take a quick break and be right back.